Kevin, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Thanks for having me tonight.
Hey, we're excited to have you on. You just got done posting an article, I believe, a few days ago, or yeah, it was May 20th, breaking down Michigan and Nebraska. Both of these teams are on BYU's schedule for the 2015 season, and you're asking who has a better shot at the top 25. And both of these teams have new coaching staffs, but I have to wonder, before we get into who has a better shot, what are the expectations for these two teams? One, led by Bo Pelini the last few years, won almost 70% of their games, went to bowl games almost every single year, but just couldn't get over the hump, lost some big games, but by a wide margin. Michigan, on the other hand, has just been in a downward spiral for the last 3 or 4 years, but with probably the most popular coach in college or NFL football, in my opinion. What do you think the expectations are like? Who has higher expectations between these two football teams in terms of record?
Well, I think when you're talking about expectations, there's the realistic expectation and the fans' expectation. And I think the fan expectation in Michigan may be a little bit higher than at Nebraska, but I think when you look at these teams, and you look at it from a realistic point of view, I feel like the ceiling may actually be higher for Nebraska given their schedule, the fact that they're in a division that where they don't have to play Ohio State and Michigan State. They won't have to play we'll see what happens with Penn State. The Nebraska division just seems like an easier path to at least get to a Big Ten championship game. So I think throwing Nebraska in the category of division championship, I don't think that that's too far off. I think that's probably a realistic expectation. If they get there, that's great. If they don't get there, it's probably a disappointment, but it may be explainable. Michigan, on the other hand, I still feel like it's going to be another year or two before Jim Harbaugh can really get that Michigan program back up to speed a little bit, going head-to-head with the likes of Ohio State. They still have to get over Michigan State right now. So, third place, fourth place is probably their ceiling in their division this year. So that's the way I'm looking at it.
How will the transfers that Harbaugh's gotten in the offseason affect this team, and especially at the quarterback position? Do you believe in this quarterback that they got out of I think it was Iowa, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jake Rudock. I think it's a satisfiable transfer option for him right now. The Michigan quarterback situation isn't all that great, no matter how you look at it, but you're bringing a guy that has some starting experience at the Big Ten level, and I think that there's something to be said about that. Someone who's probably going to fit okay into the system at Michigan, I think there's a pretty good expectation that he can win that starting job and provide Michigan with some stability there under center as they go with a new offensive system and everything. So I think that they'll be okay. It's not going to be their long-term solution. They obviously are going to need Jim Harbaugh to recruit somebody that really fits his mold. So I think it gets them by this year. They're going to win more games than they lose. So I think that they'll be okay with Jake Rudock in there.
Kevin, I've debated this on my show a number of times. I want to get your opinion on it. I think as BYU fans talk about expansion, they automatically look to the Big 12. They dream of maybe being a part of the Pac-14. Maybe erroneously, but I feel like as far as skill set is concerned, as far as the way in which BYU typically plays the game of football, they actually match up better with Big Ten style of football. Would you agree or disagree?
I would agree with that, because when I watch BYU, I feel like I'm almost watching a team that could be playing in the Big Ten. It seems like they play the same kind of style compared to the Big Ten, at least when you're comparing them to styles that you see in the Big 12. And the Pac-12, where it's a little bit more wide open offensively, maybe throwing a little bit more, certainly in the Big 12. Big 10, I think of defense and I think of running the football. And that's something that I generally see out of BYU when I get a chance to watch them. So I feel like they could fit well in that conference. Not that I'm starting any Big 10 expansion rumors or anything like that, but yeah, it just feels like a team that could fit well in that kind of conference with that identity.
Yeah, and that's what I'm getting at. I just like the scheduling. I would love to see the Big Ten on BYU schedule more often. I like the personnel matchups. I like the defensive matchups. I like the run game. It's smash mouth football, I get excited for that, and that's why I think the Michigan Nebraska matchup is intriguing to me. But last time BYU faced a Big Ten opponent, It was a physical dominating performance by that Wisconsin offensive line. Were you able to watch that game?
Yeah, I remember that was a really good Wisconsin team too. The offensive line at Wisconsin has really been a strong suit the last couple of years, and you see that with the production they get out of the running game. It's tough to beat them that way.
Yeah, I just remember that was one of the better defenses that BYU has fielded in the Bronco Mendenhall tenure, and that Wisconsin offensive line just beast moded the defensive front. I think we had two or three injuries that came on the defensive front. Our two NFL safeties, Danny Sorensen and Craig Bills, were bouncing off of Gordon's legs.
And you're not the only team that have seen that last year, that season. I mean, like I said, Wisconsin has just been running the football so well. They've been really one of the more consistent teams in the Big Ten the last 5 years. They're right in that mix, and they're more than capable of handling themselves on that kind of stage. And they've got a big test this year. They open up against Alabama, so I'm very curious to see where they stack up there. But, yeah, I mean, I've seen enough of Wisconsin in the last 5 years to know that it's very difficult to beat them with that kind of offensive line and running game. That's what made Ohio State's performance in that Big Ten championship game just so amazing. I mean, 59-0 kind of speaks for itself, but that 59-0 was legitimate, like 59-0, and you just don't see that against Wisconsin.
I don't know if, Kevin McGuire on with us here. No two-minute warning in college football talk, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. Kevin, have you heard any rumblings as to what the Big Ten will do in 2017 once their TV rights and their contract come up? Are they going to look to expand, do you think?
I don't think so. I think they've done enough expanding at this point with getting Rutgers and Maryland. You say what you will about the actual football programs that they bring in, but it was all about getting into those TV markets, and that's something that the Big Ten is really going to try and exploit to the best of their advantage, and I don't blame them. I mean, all these realignment changes have something to do with TV teams, and the Big Ten moving east, I think, was their big key. If they're not going to be moving south, I think the east is probably the only direction that they would be going. But there are 14 teams now, and it's already kind of a loaded conference, and they've got the New York market. They've got the D.C. market. Whether or not they want to consider the Philadelphia market part of their territory, go for it. But I just feel as though they've done all their expanding, and now it's just going to be about getting the best TV deal when that contract expires. And they're going to cash in pretty good, I would think.
Kevin, want to get your thoughts on BYU's schedule for the 2015 season. It looks tough on paper, just because you're going against some Big Ten opponents, but there's new coaches. There's teams that have a lot of question marks as far as personnel is concerned. How do you view that strength of schedule preseason?
Well, you know, BYU always has a pretty interesting schedule, and I'm always fascinated by the teams that they have on, and I'm actually loading up right now so I can actually go through real quick and just see. I mean, I know they open up against Nebraska, and they've got Boise State. That first month is really difficult, and I would be surprised if they can get out of there at 500, but that doesn't mean I think that this is going to be a rough season for BYU because, like I said, Nebraska, Boise State, at UCLA, at Michigan, that is a tough month ahead of them. If they can keep their head above water and don't get too frustrated if they do end up with a losing record in that stretch, I still feel like this is going to be a pretty good team because the rest of the schedule I don't think is all that bad. I know they have to go to Missouri at some point. Cincinnati is going to be a pretty good team in the American Conference, but I think that this is it's a pretty fascinating schedule. So it's a difficult schedule, and I got to give BYU a lot of credit for that. And they have not backed down since going independent, and this is going to be one of their bigger challenges, I think.
I don't know if you tend to break down personnel and who's returning the following year, but for BYU, they have their entire offensive line returning as well as their quarterback. How much do you lend to its potential proficiency and explosiveness with Taysom and his offensive line coming back for this next season?
Well, when I do look at the teams going into the season, those are some of the first things I look at. I want to see the quarterback that's coming back, if there's any starting experience there. I always feel good about having someone who's a junior or senior coming back with that starting experience. I think that's always good. And then you put a solid veteran offensive line in front of them, and I think you're already a step ahead of the curve for a lot of programs. So I certainly feel, looking at BYU, that they're going to be in a good point going forward. And again, that veteran experience could very well come in handy in that first month because, like I said, that's going to be a very big challenge for them. But having that kind of veteran leadership on the offensive line and that quarterback, I think that helps a lot.
I think that that's just enough for BYU is to have one of the better playmakers in college football and Taysom Hill, or do you think they're going to have to come up with defense as well?
I think their defense is going to be tested, at least early on. Again, those games are going to be tough, especially on the road. So I think their defense is going to have to come up with some big plays and really kind of slow down when Nebraska does running the football, because you know that they're probably going to be doing that. You know, Boise State should be pretty interesting. UCLA, I think, could have a pretty good team offensively. So that's going to be a real big challenge for them, too. So if the defense can make some plays and maybe create some turnovers, I mean, they can probably steal at least one of those games. But I don't think they're going to get blown out in any of these games. I think it's going to be real competitive, and they'll be close games. But it's going to be tough. And I think having that offense is good, but you need that defense to really rise to the occasion. And that's something that, you know, I expected a little bit more out of BYU's defense last year. And I know there were some, you know, changes from the last couple of years, but I think that's something that needs to be addressed pretty quickly.
Kevin McGuire from No 2 Minute Warning in College Football Talk on with us here at Cougar Sports ESPN 960. Bronco Mendenhall taking over the defense this year after letting it go for 1 year. It always happens. Bronco Mendenhall gives up the defense. The defense coordinator doesn't do as good a job as he would have liked that defensive coordinator to do, and now he's taking over that defense. Again, how does the nation view Bronco Mendenhall? I mean, you're not in this bubble that we call Utah Valley, where there's a 99.9% BYU fans. They're somewhat soured at times by Bronco Mendenhall's rhetoric and how he comports himself. But outside of the state of Utah, and in particular where you're at, how is Bronco Mendenhall viewed?
I personally have a lot of respect for him. I know coaching at BYU is a little bit different than coaching at some other programs because of all the honor code and all that stuff. And you have to buy into that. And I think that he's a guy that, from my perspective at least, he needs to get that. He really likes to enforce that kind of policy. And that, to me, I think he deserves a lot of credit. The recruiting angles may be a little bit different at BYU too compared to some other programs. So he may not be necessarily have the same kind of recruiting field as some of the programs, and I still feel like this is a program that under his leadership has really held their heads above water through some times where I think it was fair to wonder exactly what was going to happen here since the realignment changes with leaving the Mountain West and going independent. That was one of my concerns. You know, where's BYU going to end up now that they're independent? And I think they've done a remarkable job doing what they've been able to do these last couple of years with Mendenhall in charge, and I think that deserves a lot of credit. So, I mean, I think he's a good coach. I think he's obviously got the defensive mindset that I think he could coach just about anywhere. And the fact that he stuck around at BYU, I think that's a tremendous honor.
In the last few years, BYU has had ESPN as its partner in crime, as a partner in scheduling, and I think we're starting to reap some of the benefits of those relationships that BYU has with ESPN. My question is this: in 2018, that contract will come up. Has BYU done a good enough job of adding value to that relationship in order to renegotiate an even better deal? Say, if the Big 12 never expands, can they get a good enough deal money-wise in order to continue to be competitive monetarily in this college football landscape?
Yeah, no offense. I think that's obviously a better question for someone that's in charge with the ESPN business side of things. But I'll tell you this. I think with the networks trying to have as much content as possible, and, you know, if BYU is willing to play on Friday night, I think ESPN would be crazy to give that up for however many games. And I think that having BYU there as a scheduling partner of some sort, I think that adds some value to ESPN's overall college football programming, because, you know, we know that they're going to jam the schedule on Saturdays, and if they can add some quality games on those Friday nights, maybe even Thursday, I'm not sure. I think BYU is a tremendous option to have.
Let's talk about conferences. I know as you do your preseason evaluations, like I said, you're looking at personnel, you're looking at returners, you're looking at coaching staffs. Who do you think is going to be the most powerful conference this year? And then do you feel that the SEC will continue to compete at that elite level with all those coaches there? Do you think the Big 12 is an up-and-coming conference right now? What's going on in your mind?
as I'm looking at it, I still think top to bottom, the SEC is probably still number one. But over the last couple of years, as I've said, the gap has started to narrow a little bit. And you're seeing the Pac-12 really come on strong. And I think the Pac-12 takes another step forward this year. I still think the Big Ten, there's a lot of hype around the Big Ten right now. But I think the Big Ten is still very top heavy with Ohio State and Michigan State. I still need to see some more out of Nebraska, Wisconsin, maybe a little bit. I still need Penn State and Michigan to get back up to speed a little bit. So until that happens, I'm going to stay a little bit away from Big Ten overall. Big 12 is very interesting to me, though, because, we all know what happened with this conference last year. And I know a lot of people want to put the blame on the lack of a conference championship game, and I think that's legit. But I also think the Big 12 may have been a little bit overrated. I mean, when you look at the overall production in non-conference play, wasn't all that impressive. There was a lot of key losses against power conference opponents. There weren't really any real marquee wins for the conference overall. And I think that ultimately hurt them even more. So I think that's something the Big 12 probably has to address a little bit going forward. I still think TCU is very good. I think Baylor's still going to be very good. Oklahoma and Texas, I think, need to get back up there a little bit. Until we can take the Big 12 a little bit more seriously. But, I still think it's SEC 1, Pac-12 2, maybe Big 10 before the Big 12, but you can probably go either way with those. And, I'm not sure, the ACC is probably somewhere in the middle in that mix too.
Have you looked at the non-conference scheduling of the Big 12 in 2015 and 2016?
I've only looked at a couple of the teams, and I can't think of it offhand, but I know Oklahoma's got Tennessee, I think, this year. Texas has who's Texas? I forget who Texas has now.
You just brought up the only two teams, seriously, Oklahoma and Texas, those are the only two teams that know how to schedule in the non-conference with this the new football system that we have in place. Everybody else, for instance, Baylor in 2016, Northwest State Demons, SMU Mustangs, and Rice Owls. Kansas, Bobcats, Memphis Tigers, Rhode Island Rams. You go down the list. Even, teams like TCU, South Dakota, Jackrabbits, Arkansas, that's nice, and SMU, that's getting better. But you look at those 2015 schedules, and it's even worse.
Yeah, and that goes back to what I was just saying. The overall body of work for the conference really brings the conference down a peg. When you're on the selection committee and you need to rank these teams, one of the things you're looking at is how strong is their conference that they're in. Well, how do you do that? I mean, you can look at the head-to-head competition within the conference, but that doesn't really give you much. You need to look at what's happening in those non-conference games. And that's why the Big Ten has had such a bad reputation in the last few years. It goes back to week two of last year. The Big Ten came up empty on all of their big marquee spotlight games. And, of course, they ended on a high note with their bowl games and Ohio State winning it all. But what you do in those non-conference games, whether they're in the regular season or in the postseason, that's what's going to change the reputation of the conference. And that's how we're going to really change the perception of comparing one conference to the other. And that's why I think the Big 12 is in need of kind of rebuilding that reputation. I think they can do it. They probably have some talent there, but they need to win those marquee games. And to win those marquee games, you have to schedule those marquee games. And that's really what hurt Baylor last year, and maybe it hurt TCU a little bit, but that's what this conference, I think, needs more than anything right now.
How come the Big 12 didn't get the memo? Why does it seem like they were siloed there in Big 12 country when everyone was talking about how the new college football playoff system would be about strength of schedule?
It's a good question, and I think the biggest reason is a lot of these schedules are made so many years in advance, so there's only so much flexibility you can have. You would have liked to have seen some more changes made to the schedules once they knew that this college football playoff was coming, but I think one of the big things that happened last year was it was new to everybody, so we didn't really know exactly how this selection process was going to happen and really how much weight that this committee was going to give to strength of schedule compared to overall body work, whatever factors. So I think it was kind of a feeling out process as the season went along. And I think one of the other things we found was the selection committee maybe was changing their logic along the way too. So now that there's 1 year under our belt, maybe now we can start to really find the adjustments that need to be made on the school level and on the conference level going forward. And I think that's something that you're starting to see with the Big 12 a little bit, with the way they set up their new tiebreaker procedures.
Do you think moving forward, teams are going to start to schedule teams like BYU for non-conference reasons, for strength reasons? Or do you think they see BYU as a threat that, hey, this is not a lower-tier school. They could potentially beat me here, so I don't think I even want to go down that route.
No, I think BYU is going to be looked at a little bit more seriously. I mean, we already saw the ACC and the SEC. They're going to start recognizing BYU as a power conference opponent for their non-conference scheduling. So I think the image is there for BYU, and I think the importance of strength of schedule is going to keep some schools in mind, or you know, keep BYU in mind when they start to think about an attractive opponent they could line up.
Kevin, great stuff as always. We appreciate you joining us on our airwaves. Have fun this off season. Hopefully you get a little vacation time. You keep on working hard, though, when you are on that grind. Thanks so much for joining us.
Guys, thanks a lot for having me. Anytime.
All right, thanks, Kevin. Kevin McGuire from No 2-Minute Warning and College Football Talk, breaking it down.